Hello everyone, this is Evidence-Based AI, and I am Eli Elkazi. I'm one of the associate editors for the journal. Today, I am joined by Basantham Chowdhury, the IBD fellow at NYU Langone Health and the NYU Grossman School of Medicine. And we will be discussing the COSTA trial. This is the appendectomy versus switching to a JAK inhibitor in inducing remission in patients with active ulcerative colitis after biologic failure. Hi, Basantham.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Definitely. Thank you again for coming on the podcast and helping with these summaries. Kind of let's start a little bit about the appendix and appendectomies. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about both.
Yeah, so it's a super interesting topic. I'm happy to be reviewing it today. We know that the appendix contains gut-associated lymphoid tissue, or this GALT, that you guys may have heard about, and it's a source of IgA-producing plasma cells. It may contribute to the maintenance or activation of CD4 T cells, and these all interact with the immune environment in the colon. The idea, you know, the mechanisms aren't fully clear, but the idea is that removing the appendix might shift the immune cells in the colon towards a more protective state. There have been a few studies on this. We can talk about a few. First, there was a small case series in patients just with proctitis. Most of them had clinical improvement after appendectomy. Then we had the PASSION study in 2019. It enrolled 30 patients who had already been referred for colectomy, but who underwent appendectomy instead, and about 30% of them had a lasting clinical response. And in long-term follow-up data, some of them also had endoscopic improvement ongoing. And then more recently, that was published last year, the ACURE trial had 197 patients. Notably, these patients were in remission, unlike in the COSTA study we'll be talking about, and only 2 to 7 previously on prior biologics. They were randomized to appendectomy plus standard therapy versus just standard therapy, and their relapse rates were improved at 36% versus 56%. They also just presented at ECHO this a few months ago, and their 5-year follow-up data from this cohort showed significantly fewer appendectomy patients ended up requiring medical therapy at just about 9% versus 25%. So COSTA is basically asking, can appendectomy do something in patients who are actively failing medical therapy? It's a little bit different than the ACURE group.
On the side, and really to the listeners who are in earlier in their careers or fellows or residents, you do mention a wonderful kind of pipeway of studies or of an idea that came that, you know, comes to someone's head, mm-hmm. and then, you know, they create a case series out of it, a prospective study, and then randomized controlled trials that will fill the gaps, the knowledge gaps that are needed. And here we are now from an idea to the COSTA trial. So focusing on COSTA, Basantham, can you talk us through a little bit the design, and we can talk a little bit about the main results and the main findings of the study?
So this was a multi-center cohort study. It was at 5 hospitals in the Netherlands. These patients had moderate to severely active UC, Mayo scores between 5 and 12, despite already being on some sort of advanced therapy, and all patients had at least one prior biologic failure. And they basically offered patients 3 options. So this was not it was basically a patient preference study. So they were counseled either to undergo a laparoscopic appendectomy while continuing their current biologic, either stop the biologic and switch to a JAK inhibitor, or proceed to a colectomy. They had 116 patients in a modified intention to treat analysis. 67 underwent appendectomy and 49 received switched to a JAK inhibitor, which is what we'll be comparing. And their primary outcome was clinical remission without treatment failure at 12 months. I think one just thing I wanted to add was the appendectomy patients did continue their existing advanced therapy. So it was an add-on intervention on top of what they were already receiving. So their main findings were that about 33% of the appendectomy group achieved clinical remission at 12 months versus about 12% in the JAK inhibitor group. And then all of their secondary endpoints also favored appendectomy. So this was clinical response, endoscopic improvement, and endoscopic response at 12 months. And then overall, the surgical complication rate for the appendectomy arm were all minor complications, and it was only about 4% of the patient.
All right. Thanks, Basantham. That was great and a great summary. Can you walk us through a little bit some of the limitations? What are our issues with the study? And how will these limitations really hinder the use of this, of using appendectomy down the road in our future, in the future of care of IBD patients, especially ulcerative colitis patients.
So, I mean, I think a few limitations. This wasn't a randomized study, so patients chose their arm. They note that the JAK inhibitor group had more pancolitis and they had a higher rate of baseline steroid use. And then I think that the JAK inhibitor choice here matters a lot. So I want to point out that 84% of their JAK inhibitor arm received tofacitinib. Only two patients received upadacitinib. And, you know, in our practice, tofacitinib is not really the preferred JAK inhibitor for refractory or moderate to severe UC. While both are recommended in the latest ACG guidelines, we've had real-world data showing improved rates of steroid use and colectomy when we use upadacitinib instead of tofacitinib. So I would say it's rare that we're using tofacitinib. And ultimately, in the COSTA trial, the therapy failure rates were identical. So it was about 58% in both arms, and the colectomy rates were similar, around 8 to 9%. So, you know, their remission rates differed a lot, but the more downstream endpoints that we think about as being more significant really were about the same.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, especially on the choice of the JAK inhibitor. As we say in the article, we really believe that later on with actual use of upadacitinib in these patients, there might be a greater attenuation of the remission rate, of the clinical remission rates of the JAK inhibitor patient's arm. No, that is definitely true. And that's how a little bit the practice differs between us and other centers within the U.S. and outside of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of this in mind, Vasantham, does it change your practice, or how are you going to be offering this therapy to patients or choose patients specifically for that? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. I mean, this is such an interesting question. You know, they announced recently that the ECHO guidelines will be including appendectomy for therapy refractory UC. And the updates that ACURE gave us at the latest ECHO Congress really seems more promising for even their five-year durability rates. I think this is a tough question because I think, you know, maybe in the right patient, someone who's refractory to advanced therapy and who is perhaps reluctant to keep cycling or trying combination therapy, but they are open to low risk surgery, then it's something to bring up. But I think we have to be clear in counseling them that the ultimate treatment failure rate was pretty similar in this study. The rate of colectomy didn't differ, you know, and even recommending prophylactic appendectomy to patients in remission, like in the ACURE data, I feel like it will be hard to convince patients of without so many trials in favor quite yet. Yeah, and I think like if we had other data, like for example, as we're talking about with upadacitinib also showing benefit, I think that could help us counsel patients a little bit better as well.
Very correct. Thank you. Next steps. So what's next on this pipeline of research and the use of appendectomy? Can you talk a little bit more about the patient selection on who would benefit really most from appendectomy?
Right. I think that's the question, right? It would be great to know who would benefit versus who would end up with treatment failure. They did the same study group, had a poster at ECHO proposing an intestinal ultrasound-based decision pathway for patient selection. So they looked at things like the diameter of the wall and submucosal echogenicity. They had some prediction of those who would benefit or not. This obviously needs to be further validated and it's not published yet, but it sounds compelling. That would be helpful to know, especially at centers where we can do intestinal ultrasound and take a look. You know, in addition to having data against upadacitinib instead of tofacitinib, I think looking at it versus combination therapy would also be really interesting. We're doing more and more of that for our refractory patients. And of course, having longer follow-up data from COSTA would also be interesting to follow up.
And I want to add that hopefully down the road, we'll have some real-world data and evidence as well.
Mm-hmm.
Once this practice becomes a little bit more common and more doable within our centers and different centers around the world, whether it be in Europe, in the US, or in Asia or anywhere mm-hmm. else. Especially, you know, appendectomy is a same-day surgery, as we mentioned, minimal adverse events, and could really have, at least theoretically, and there's a proof of concept, could have a really good benefit to our select patients.
Yeah, I think it's super exciting. We'll all be paying attention to this for the next several years.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, thanks again for joining me today. For our listeners, please remember to subscribe to Evidence-Based GI on your favorite podcast platform. And you can follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at @ACG_EBGI, where we host our tutorial of EBGI summaries. Please read the full issue of EBGI or Evidence-Based GI on the ACG website and look for it in our blast emails as well from the ACG. Thanks again, Vasantham, and up to the next summary.
Thank you.